the Hoodoo Gurus here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Morning, everybody. Just some polite applause, as you can hear them. Still not 100%. It's me, Tony Mark. I've never been this unwell doing a radio show, but you don't want to take a day off in radio. You know that old rule?
Why is that?
You take a day off, you come in the next day, Mikey Robbins is in your parking
spot.
Be careful. But we've got too much fun stuff to get to anyway.
What's going on?
I'm just going to forge on. Do you want to kick off with testing Richard Marsden? How do you reckon his music skills are going?
Well, if it's anything like his new jumper, it'll be fantastic. You suggested yesterday that my fashion could do with a shot of adrenaline, and so I bring it. And don't you know it?
This is bringing it, isn't it, Richard? How would you describe that, Ed?
Sort of like if you'd escaped from prison and you'd stolen the prison clothes and tried to turn them into everyday wear, but were failing miserably. And then you went to a shop to buy this look, and when you got there, rather than taking the shirt home and maybe washing it or hanging it up, you put it on straight from the rack.
That's right.
So that it's still got all the creases from where the salespeople have folded it.
That's exactly right. That's what it is.
Well, that's a catchy little style that Richard's coined there.
It's kind of Jailhouse Rock meets Adelaide Beat.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? We should go shopping together for clothes. I reckon it sounds like an afternoon.
Yeah, that's going to stop people from yelling, "Pop their editors in the streets" on this show, which they do.
They do, they love it.
Almost becoming our catchphrase.
Why not?
What about a quick music quiz? I've queued one up for you, Rich. You haven't heard these clips, have you?
No.
Okay. Can you identify this song? What is that?
Sounds like Footloose by Kenny Loggins.
It's not! It's the opening track from Big Star's Radio City album, Oh My Soul. Play a bit more of it. Many years before Footloose. Do you reckon Footloose has ripped that off?
Because when they played through it and back to back, that's very similar as well.
Really?
Modern Love by David Bowie.
You've got to get into shape. We've got to have another bout with Alan Bro, because Alan Bro is on form at the moment. So much so that people are writing letters to the editors, as you've seen,
claiming that he's been fed the questions in squeaks and specs.
Like some sort of earpiece.
Right. He just knows his stuff.
He does. I reckon we've got to go head to head again.
Mm.
One of many head to heads coming up on Get This. The big one, obviously, brewing is Norgs versus Norks. Has there ever been such a big debate on this show?
Actually, I was someone in promotions in the kitchen today said to me, "Why do you never have an event?" And I think we've just come up with one. Norgs versus Norks.
Why do we never
you
have
be the judge.
An event?
Yeah.
Where do we have
April? No, not an event. That's a promotion.
We had Stephanie Captain Day.
That's just some nonsense with blokes wearing bits of silk in the office.
An event.
Yep, an event. Like a singles night. A lot of programs are doing singles nights, calling them all different things.
That's not on the show. We like to do stuff that's on the show. Okay? What about playing clips from Police 10-7 from across the Tasman? Sure, that's going to catch on another program.
Yeah.
A lot of people are requesting more of that. I'm sorry, listeners. I did miss the teabagging episode. I don't know what was going on there. There was an episode on the weekend where everyone was so drunk that all of the clips had to be subtitled. You couldn't there's no audio we could use for half an hour. But I did tape one which has, I reckon, the longest beep I've yet heard on Police 10-7. This is when a very sensible constable, as they all are across the Tasman.
Oh, nice.
Infiltrate a drug den.
Oh, dear.
Check it out.
Oh, one of the things we want to talk to you about is the fact that you're breaching your bail conditions, okay?
What are you doing breaching your bail conditions?
Having your bail conditions are not to associate with any of the...
Okay, but you want to come and talk to me. It's not breaching your bail conditions.
Well, you're associating with
them. You're paying me.
So what you need to do...
Listen to me.
What you need to do, if you don't want to get arrested and taken into the police station, is you need to sort out your living arrangements, because if you keep living here with him, we will come back and we will arrest you, okay? So you need to sort it out.
Just stupid.
Is that the record? Is that the record? Will we get that guy on to co-host one day?
You know what he says?
Just do for baby drugs. That's what you do. That's a great voice. That's a fun one to do. Try it in your car. Everyone listening now in a car, wind down your window. I don't care if it's raining and say, he just used for paper drugs.
It's Ryan Philippe in New Zealand is what it is.
Is it really?
It's too soon, Rick.
Oh, that is apparently an actual quote from Ryan Philippe.
Outside a nightclub.
It's too soon, Rick. What about the... Is that the longest beep we've had on the show, do you think?
Up next, I might try and beat that record.
You're going to top that?
Yeah, yeah. Fizzle for the next break. Can we beat the beeping record?
Well, they say we have no objection here at Get This. Thank you, Green Day, with a bit of John Lennon at the end here at Get This Around the Nation with your nasal host, Tony Martin. Did you have some John Lennon news for us, Richard?
Yeah, the John Lennon's famous glasses, they were sold for auction a couple of days ago, $1.73 million.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? How much will your glasses go for?
Oh, 28 cents, I reckon.
Something like that?
We'll get up to 29.
What did you say, Richard?
Well, I think also they're selling the glasses that he was wearing on the day that he fell in love with Yoko Ono.
Mm.
They're called beer goggles, and I'm not sure.
Okay, thanks for a dollar. Not even Friday.
Don't say that, Ed.
Zero beer. The round. See, I get a lot of stick for persisting with the round John Lennon-style glasses.
Who from?
Well, just from glasses bucks. Everyone's gone over to the little rectangular one.
Advertising executives on scooters and whatnot.
Yeah, I don't want to look like that bloke that wrote Lantana.
Oh, yeah, no. The bobble look.
Yeah, the bobble. I don't want to wear the bobble.
The bobble look.
It's because I have big eyes. So if I don't wear round glasses, I look like a Nazi scientist. If I wear the rectangular.
Yeah, how you want to look.
I'll prove it on the website one day.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to look like a Nazi scientist. Maybe you do.
Well,
maybe it's a preferable look to that jumper, Richard. Now, just before the last song, we played what we claimed was the longest beep ever heard on an episode of Police 10-7, the cop show from across the Tasman. You're going to outbeat that, are you?
I'm going to try. The automatic beeping machine here kicks in as soon as some fruit tries to go to air.
Really?
So we have an email here from Hilary Pierce.
Yes.
She writes in to say that, just writing in to say that I was fortunate enough to attend the world premiere of Short Bus. It was supposed to be a Q&A session with John Cameron Mitchell, the director, after a screening of the making of the orgy scene turned into an impromptu world premiere due to a faulty disc.
Oh.
While waiting for someone to grab the disc from his hotel, the audience had the pleasure of watching... got stage fright and couldn't squeeze out a drop.
Oh,
I'm sure you won't be surprised to hear a number of people walked out during the screening.
There, oh dear. I'm getting worried about Short Bus. Now, who do we thank for that letter?
Hilary Pierce.
Thank you, Hilary Pierce. You know, we just talked about Short Bus. We didn't necessarily base an evening's entertainment on it.
No.
My wife has been working with Ross Noble this week on something.
Oh, yeah.
He's not very happy with us. He rented Short Bus.
Sorry, Ross.
He's coming in to have a word. Yeah, okay. We'll find out what that's about soon. Oh, we haven't had Ross in for a while.
Mm.
Just back to Police 10-7 for a moment, and then we can put this to bed. People are saying what podcast contains this line?
Oh, come.
You have to go all the way back to podcast 7. A long time ago. That's how long we've been vlogging that one.
Mm.
Podcast 76, where is the bloke who won't stop swearing on Police 10-7? Podcast 102.
Okay.
Podcast 102. All right, put it behind us. Here's another letter concerning Short Bus. This is from Michael Kettlewell.
Mm.
Dear Ed, how is it you can't stomach the PG-rated peck that wants to kiss the Transformers, yet you have no problem with Short Bus? Good question.
Be fair enough, I reckon.
What is it with you and kissing in the movie?
I can't stand it. It makes me just, I get really nervous and I don't believe them. They're obviously not into each other.
There's never been one in the history of cinema.
There's never been one in the history of cinema where you thought, yep, they're probably, you know. Because if they are actually doing it in real life, that's sick. Because then you have to watch it. Much like the guy at the gym, and if you're listening, please stop. The personal trainer that rewards his client every time she does like a sort of a bending lift thing with a little grope on the buttocks and a kiss on the mouth.
Is it going on at your gym?
Yeah.
Shouldn't we establish yourself together?
I don't care. I do not care. Now, speaking of speaking of Transformers,
I'll
come up with my watertight argument as to why it ain't right. Because Ryan Shelton from Roof came in and said that you've got to expect with Michael Bay there's going to be some romance.
Yeah, sure.
Which is all fair enough.
Romance and explosion,
absolutely right. But we have an email here from Lee Donnellan that says, what's with Optimus Prime and the rest of the perverts loitering in the background while the nerd and the hot chick get it on Bumblebee's chest?
Yeah.
Short bus in disguise. He's absolutely right.
That is very weird. That is very 8 Transformers of interest, that, I have to say. Very odd.
Now, how can you tell a movie sucks? What's the guaranteed way to tell a movie sucks?
The name Paulie Shore appears in the credits.
Incorrect. Incorrect. Theme song by the Goo Goo Dolls.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Wings of Desire. That one.
That was Iris.
Iris.
Was it Wings of Desire or was it the American version?
Sorry, how does it go again?
No, because you'll bang it up.
That one.
The theme song for Transformers is by our friends the Goo Goo Dolls.
Oh.
And in the film clip, it says the Goo Goo Dolls, as they're always found, on a rooftop in the wind.
Yeah.
And then shots of all the passion.
Yeah.
That sounds like prosecution rest.
Another really long beat. I think to describe that.
You know, I walked through the sales department on the way here. We often
were you inspired?
Yeah, I was today, because you know what they were doing. A couple of blokes were standing around copying your style of singing.
Really?
And Copperhead Road. It was played earlier on the station, and everyone is infected with Copperhead fever. People love it when Ed Cavalli sings. They love it even more when Richard Marsland sings in the style of Ed Cavalli.
Okay, so your Ed sounds like Bob Dylan. Your Ringo sounds like Peter Harvey.
Yeah. It's all over the place.
Do you Warwick Capper? Can you do a Warwick Capper?
Warwick Capper sort of talks a bit quick.
He was on Speak Quick here last night.
I shouldn't say that.
For calling him a deadbeat dad, let's talk about the latest on the Capper for Mayor of the Gold Coast campaign next. Don't get there. Nick on the beach, that's Martha and the Muffins here at Get This on Triple M. Myself, Tony Martin, Ed Cavalli's here, and of course, Pushing Buttons, Richard Martland.
Oh, that's unfair. That is true. That is a behind the scenes moment.
I don't know that that's been confirmed.
Impressions. I find when you have a cold, you can usually do voices you can't normally do. Do you find that?
Yeah.
Helen Clark. You'd be in the Helen Clark territory now.
Really? Does that sound Helen Clark?
New Zealand Prime Minister Helen Clark.
Yeah. I can usually do quite a good Paul Simon when I have a cold for no reason.
Have a crack.
Wow. Man walks down the street, says, why am I stopped in the middle? Hasn't quite happened yet.
It's not bad.
I need a bit more of a cold. It comes good. You'll find that when the good thing about having a cold is you can do voices you can't normally do.
It's not really right yet.
Give it a couple more days.
Okay.
We'll be doing Simon and Garfunkel.
Oh, that's good news.
You wait.
Who does that make me? Like Stills or Nash?
You could be Stills or Nash.
And Fogelberg, if you want.
If not Fogelberg.
You don't know who that is there.
All right, then. Same Dan Fogelberg.
Very good.
Is that him?
It is now.
It is now and forever on this program. What about Warwick Capper? People thought we were joking when we said he was running for Mayor of the Gold Coast. It was all confirmed on the fair last night.
Posted by a robot.
Certainly was.
Mm.
The robot was accusing Warwick of being a deadbeat dad.
Come on, robot.
And, of course, they did that thing where they couldn't get Joanne Capper to say anything.
No.
So they just find one of their quote-unquote psychologists who say all the nasty stuff that the absent person would have said.
How much easier if they get them to wear the mask of the person that they're talking to.
That would be great.
What's the psychologist that she's on everything?
Well, we've got a clip here.
Oh, here we are.
Since the world's publicised split, Warwick's reputation as a human headline has only grown. There's been Warwick Capper, the traffic controller, the meter man, and just this week, he's announced he's running for Mayor of the Gold Coast.
I think that most of Australia would really appreciate Warwick Capper more if he grew up.
Psychologist Janet Ford. The elderly usually are a lot more delightful than their
hotpants. Oh, no.
Hang on.
Quieten down, psychologist lady. We want him in the hot pants for the full term of his mayoralty.
She can talk about the brain stuff, but the package holding apparatus.
Yeah,
that's Capper's business.
Just leave that to Warwick.
Yeah.
And his son, Indiana Warwick.
Yeah.
Indiana Warwick in the Temple of Doom. Oh, man.
Ooh-wee.
Okay, back to the emails. What have we got here?
Oh, have you been to see the new Harry Potter? Has anyone been to see the new
Harry Potter? It's massively popular.
He's about 31.
Yeah.
The dude playing Harry Potter is
catch it up to me.
I've got a theory that Daniel Radcliffe is the next Mark Hamill.
I love this theory.
So Mark Hamill.
Our generation's Mark Hamill.
Absolutely.
Mm.
Been waiting.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not a bad
one. Not bad at all.
Not bad at all.
Where does that leave the red-headed fella?
Oh, well, he's clearly Harrison Ford.
Jake Busey.
Because he's got that Prince Harry, you know, quality. A lot of the...
Oh, you think that Rudolph Grint, or whatever his name is, Rupert Grint,
yeah,
saying his dad might be Captain James Hewitt.
No, that's not fair. Come on, that's not fair.
Well, everyone who's red-headed is under suspicion now. Ronald McDonald. Who's his dad? Some DNA testing.
Mark Woodford.
We don't have time to drop a sandbag on me, so I'll just jump straight to this. Somebody says here, Hugh Brown. That's a real name. Hugh Brown. I went to the latest Harry Potter movie. There's a scene which takes place in a large room full of crystal balls. I couldn't resist. I couldn't stop myself from shouting out in the cinema, "All be glowed!" And as if that wasn't enough, I added, "I'm drooling already over this huge pair of gloves."
Well done.
What's he talking about? He's talking about David Dickinson, the host of Bargain Hunt.
I'm going to say to you, this is sheer heaven for me. And I'm drooling already with this pair, this huge pair of gloves. And they're 25-inch gloves. We're looking at over £200,000 for this magnificent pair of gloves. And I'm going to say these are probably the finest pair of gloves that are on sale in the country today.
Stormy gloves!
But David Dickinson. So if you are going along, maybe if, you know, the kids are dragging you along to Harry Potter and it's a bit boring for you, just look forward to the moment when you can shout out in the cinema, "All me gloves."
Fair enough.
To the mystification of all but a few. Are you satisfied?
Die hard.
You going to do it? You going to go along and do it?
I'm not going to Harry Potter. No. I'll do it at something else. I'll do it at Fantastic Four, Rise of the Sleeping Audience.
Yeah. Need other people to be in the cinema for it to really be funny, though. What about the listeners? What are we going to have them talking about today? I don't know. Now, somewhere here.
Oh, I've got some ideas, actually.
Oh, dodgy topics.
No, good ones.
Oh, what's the rip-off we're doing today?
Yeah, what's the rip-off?
What do you reckon's a rip-off? That'll be next.
New York Post goes zero stars.
Triple M, and why not visit the Triple M website, the increasingly elaborate Triple M website? Go to the Get This page. What kind of stuff have we got on there? Oh, sorry, yeah, I want to keep talking, do I? Because Ed's got a mouthful of sandwich. Richard, you've been there.
Mm-hmm. So much stuff. The recent offences.
You think the ad break would have been long enough to get a course in, wouldn't you?
Like all the podcasts are up there.
Yeah.
Photos, incriminating photograph.
That's right, it's some very incriminating photographs, and also some old picture of me in Lederhausen. I don't know where that's come from.
Very strange.
Oh, you're back with us.
it's YouTube video on climate change.
Very important stuff.
I'm carbon neutral.
Gender neutral.
Have you seen that? Oh, I think it's a beauty, damn it. Yeah. I want something new, something we haven't had before in this time. What about some... Can you do some sort of busking guitar for us, Rich?
Something
what do you
like
got? This on Triple M, and if you're just joining us, yes, I do sound a bit different this morning. Bit of a cold. I'm an old Flemish master.
Oh, man.
This morning I'm involved in a government Flem creation scheme.
Wow.
That's what I'm doing. But the show continues. Who couldn't want to come in and read all these emails? How good are the emails on this show?
Fantastic.
Love the emails.
People are so into this. Look at this. Wanted Yort has written in. I'm not going to say anything yet.
They know what they are.
Is he a wanton yort? What's his name?
His name is Wanted Yort, and he says, "Has anyone thought of using the singing mountain goat herself as a backing track to Talkback Mountain? Miss Stevie Nicks, and any one of her vocal parts, because she's the closest thing I've ever heard of to a mountain goat in music." Well, I put that to Matty D. What's he come up with? There he goes, he.
Make a difference.
Goatee as. Also, well,
Goatee as. Yeah, that's a good phone topic.
Yeah.
Goatee as.
The shawl was made out of cashmere, but so it all works. P.S. says the wanted yurt. Ed, why isn't your name in the credits on the Meat Pie Trailor? This is the Trailor, as it's called, on YouTube for the film.
Is anyone's name?
Yeah, that's right. It's starring Ostentatious and I think someone from Big Brother and Johnny Boxer. Mm-hmm. And your name isn't even in the tiny little print, and yet you're the lead character in the main role. What's that about?
I don't know, Tony.
Is that because when you made it, nobody had heard of you?
Yeah.
But surely now...
Oh, now I'm huge. Now, I mean, you try walking down the street as me.
Look, you are on the nation's number one rating, 11 to 1.
Comedy show on this network, in this time slot, if you don't count music and AM radio.
Do you reckon you'll be bumped up? You know, when it comes out, will you suddenly be at the front of the credits?
I mean, I'd hope so.
Well, it's interesting because I think Tony pointed out when he was watching the trailer that they've listed the aspect ratio as the final image on that trailer.
That's the shape of the frame. Imagine yeah. People watching that. Oh, I don't know about that one, mate. It's only in 1 to 184.
I'm leaving.
Off for the better vision.
Now, a lot of people say it was a rip-off of your American Pie.
Is this the topic we're doing today? Rip-off. So you had some other topics we were going to do.
I was going to suggest a better one.
Shonkiest nightclub fire. That's what I wanted to do. It's been rejected by the lawyers.
All right. What have they found inside you?
No.
Okay. What will you put up with for hot people?
Now, you've been floating this for a while.
I think it's a good idea.
So the idea is you're dating someone who's incredibly hot, as Mr. Marvel is.
Yeah. And what will you put up with just to keep it going?
Yeah, it's not going to offend people, is it, that one? Well, you know what, we'll keep floating it, and if the listeners buy it, we might do that one. But you're saying today rip-offs. I know what you're saying.
How about who's your most boring friend?
Gonna spread the love around, isn't it?
All right, let's do rip-offs.
Rip-offs, because in the paper today, you've got that film Strange Bedfellows came out a few years ago with Michael Caton and Paul Hogan as two firemen pretend to be gay so as to obtain some kind of tax benefits or something.
Yeah.
Dean Murphy, the director of that lovely bloke, has every right to be angry, I feel, by the new Adam Sandler film in which Adam Sandler...
Absolutely right. Adam Sandler's got a movie out. We're all have a right to be angry.
Him and the King of Queens play, two firemen. They haven't even bothered to change firemen who have to pretend to be a gay couple in order to blah-de-blah-de-blah.
They've ripped it off.
Well, it would appear so. I think we probably have to throw an allegedly in there, and it looks like it's all going to head to court. And, of course, the connection is Michael Caton says he gave a copy of Strange Bedfellows to Rob Schneider, who he knows via that film The Animal.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, Schneider and Sandler, they're like a gay couple.
Perfect. So they're like that.
I don't know if there's any... Obviously, this isn't the People's Court.
Not yet.
It does look like a rip-off. Maybe it's just a coincidence.
I don't know. I mean, they are both firemen.
It's a rip-off.
You were saying that Jamie Drury, Australia's favourite stripper-turned-personality, has got a new backyard show on the telly.
Apparently, and he's sort of ripping himself off. So what's happened, he's gone from 9, he's gone over to 7 doing a slightly similar show, and they put it on opposite his old show. That ever happened before?
No, that's
taking yourself on in the radio.
Look, is that a...
Oh, we've robbed rip-off.
But I'll just say that the good news is that Jamie's back on our screens. That's really where we're leaving that one.
I know you're a fan.
Now, how about this, Tone? When I was at the video store, Jackie Chan would bring out, you know, good movies every now and again. Oh. Your Rumble in the Bronx.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Shanghai Nights.
Super Cop.
Drunken Master 2.
Drunken Master.
That's the best one.
Unbelievable.
Now, he's a genius. Jackie Chan is amazing. All his own stunts.
World's greatest movie star. Most popular movie star in history.
There you go.
It's true.
All right. Not so popular is the man that every single time Jackie Chan would bring out a movie. Another movie would come out with a cover that looked dangerously similar, starring Jeff Speakman. So when Rumble in the Bronx came out, the same day we got another box, cardboard box put together by who knows who, that said Jeff Speakman is the perfect weapon. And then when Shanghai Knights came out, the same day, Jeff Speakman is punched in the shins.
Ripped off. Now, we're not just looking for movies. It could be anything. Songs, TV shows, packaging. because you're talking about video shops. Here's something I learnt back in the days when I was a boring typographer. Yellow, it's the cashier's colour.
Really?
If you want to sell books, make them yellow. It's the one that the eye goes to from the other side of the bookshop or the other side of the video shop, and you would remember the cover of the Full Monty.
Yellow,
you could see it from it. You could be driving past the video shop and go, oh, the Full Monty's in there.
Little Miss Sunshine tried the same thing.
They did. They've gone with the yellow. But do you remember a movie with Toni Collette called The James Gang?
I do.
And the cover was identical, same yellow, same font, The James Gang, written the same as The Full Monty. There you go.
Crackers, another Australian film.
Yellow.
Oh, Crackers.
Yellow.
Is that yellow?
Yellow cover.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think everyone will be going yellow now.
There we
go. All right. Okay, what is a rip-off, Mr. Muslin?
There's a commercial going around at the moment. It's called...
Not in commercial, Rich. I won't hear that ad people have brought up their own ideas and have just ripped off a movie. I will not hear it.
All original.
I'm just checking to see if any of their commercials are coming up on here. Don't seem to be, so I can unload. But it's a Kellogg's commercial. I'm not sure it's for a breakfast cereal. And there's a guy on a lie detector. And you watch the commercial, and it's this guy, and he gradually admits to more and more embarrassing things as the lie detector catches him out.
Right.
It's a rip-off of an exact same scene in The Simpsons.
Is it?
Where Mo is on the lie detector saying, I have a date later on.
Oh,
I don't have a date later on.
Yeah, the same pace, it's the same everything. I am so angry with Will Ferrell. How dare he rip off that brilliant ad where everyone's sitting around singing Afternoon Delight in the office.
That was so cheap, wasn't it?
It's the easiest job in the world, isn't it? Advertising makeup ads, dude. Just watch a movie, go in the next day, sport a ponytail, go, look what I've got. Cha-ching.
Okay. Well, get it out of your system, listeners. Are you angry about what you perceive to be a rip-off? Call us now, 133353. Somebody's crying. Chris Isaac here. Get this around the nation. We're up Talkback Mountain, a very controversial topic today. What do you reckon is a rip-off? Like that Adam Sandler film, which is coming out, I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry, looks a bit like Australia's own Strange Bedfellows. I don't think that's going to stop people from going in, because there's that shot of Jessica Biel in her underpants.
That was.
That will account for 100 mil at the box office.
And I'll see you there, people. Now, this is one of those topics where we've had thousands of callers, many of which we can't put to air.
Yeah, the lawyers have stepped in.
Trouble when this happens. All right, then, let's start off. Hello, Ian.
Hello, Ian. How are you?
What's the ripoff?
Well, lately, CI, you know, the crime and whatever they are, you know, the... Criminal intent, yeah.
Law and order criminal intent.
Law and all that sort of stuff, you know. Yeah. They've taken to knocking off real-life things. I mean, last week, I think it was Anna Nicole Smith, you know, they said, what happens if she was murdered? And it was... Yeah, but this week, apparently, it's the nappy wearing astronauts. Do you remember her?
Yeah, we love her.
They also... it was there in their ad thing. It was a really irritating... Apollo 13, you know, that line where Ed Harris does the... You know, this is, they said, this could be our darkest hour. And he said, everyone, I think this could be our brightest moment. He did that whole with the waistcoat and everything. Well, they've actually just completely taken that line and reversed it. They said, what should have been the NASA's brightest moment was their darkest hour. Even Skyvan Mungle.
Ripped off. Well, Ed Harris, as we know, is the mayor of Brisbane, so he's not going to be too happy when he hears about that. So real life sort of stories being ripped off by the crime shows. Why not get that going in Australia? The new one's starting called City Homicide with Bornie. Bornie's coughing up.
Okay, I've got it. First episode.
Yep.
Richard Markland as the bloke with the cardboard box on his head trying to rob servos in Adelaide.
Second episode. Richard Markland as Geelong Steve Johnson swigging sunscreen from people's porches.
Punching cabbies.
We've got heaps of real life here in this country. It could be folded into these shows.
Easily.
Your stomach has never been so protected from the UV rays. Hi, Susan.
Hi, guys.
What do you think is a ripoff?
It's a generalised one. It's Aldi's. You walk in, and all these products are coloured to make you think of other products.
That's right.
Beautiful.
Like their choco rice and their choc malt green tube of drink.
Can you stop and go back? What is choco rice?
Choco rice is their rip-off of Cocoa Pops.
Choco rice sounds nowhere near as appealing as Cocoa Pops.
But the box is yellow, so that's important.
Oh, right. Who's the mascot for choco rice? Just a school teacher.
I have one. Aldi doesn't budget for mascots.
And do you buy? Do you like to go to the Aldi and buy the wacky combinations of products?
I do, because you always walk away thinking I didn't really need that, but it was really cheap.
Didn't need it.
What did you buy last time you were there?
Oh, we ended up buying a DVD player.
There you go.
It was only $39.
Yeah. Wow. She must have gone on the day when they went on special.
Was it a DVD player and bag of rice?
And a box of Choco Rice.
There you go.
All right, Albie.
Thank you,
sir. Possibly a rip-off, man. There must be another one we can put to air, Ed.
Yeah, hi, Michael. How are you?
Yeah, hi.
How are you going?
Not bad. I actually reckon that the new Transformers movie is a rip-off of the Citronades.
There's an element of truth there.
Very true. And there's some argument, Michael, that the old transforming dancing Citron looks a wee bit better than some of the Transformers in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it still looks like the car that it's portraying. That's the thing.
That's very true. Yeah.
I mean, you hear nothing of the Transformers since the 80s, and then all of a sudden there's a Citronade.
Oh, my goodness.
And now a movie.
Oh, Michael.
If only does the Citronade have the You've Got the Touch song?
No, it doesn't.
No, no, thankfully.
And thankfully, the Goo Goo Dolls have been allowed nowhere near the Citronade.
Exactly.
Thank you very much, Michael. I think you're onto something.
Any others?
Hi, Joel.
Hi, how you going, guys?
Yeah, really good, mate. What's a rip-off?
Pretty much any prison film after Escape from Alcatraz.
You're an Escape from Alcatraz fan with Clint Eastwood. Well, what was so original about that as a prison movie?
Well, I'll give you the examples of the rip-offs, like Shawshank Redemption and A Perfect World, which is the Kevin Costner film. Mm. In both films, they both escape from prison by collecting bits of rock off the wall and dumping it in their shoes and walking outside into the yard.
Yeah, that was a great... Was Escape from Alcatraz the one where he hid the thing in the heel of his boot?
That's right, yeah.
And then he had a second metal thing in his hand.
Yeah.
So that the metal detector set it off, they confiscate the first one, don't find the thing in the boot.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Yeah. And it's also got a little pet bird, don't they, as a metaphor, one of the characters in Alcatraz, is that right?
Yes. And they've always got the antisocial prisoner who's been picked on. You've got the big tough one who's got the drugs, and you've got, you know, the mean old prison warden and what have you.
Yes, and wasn't Escape from Alcatraz the one where Clint Eastwood made a paper mache version of himself? Which I think later starred in Firefox.
The VHS copy I rented, no joke, for the first hour of it was just all static, so you could hear just all this really corny dialogue. It was like an old radio, like an old BBC radio play of American actors.
Yeah, all static. That normally only happens when there's an orc scene.
New betcha. New Goldthor.
Thank you, Joel. Well, not good work.
Controversial theories. Is that the, that's it, isn't it?
One more.
One more we can put to air.
Now, I wanted to...
Yes, do it.
Go. James. Hello, James. How are you?
How you going, guys?
Yes, good. What's a rip-off?
I reckon pretty much CSI Miami is the biggest rip-off of Hawaii 5-0.
How do you account for that?
The overzealous beach cop with the moody beginning and end shots. Mm. Just completely. McGarrick would just never stop. He's relentless. They totally ripped it off.
Yeah. Do they do the thing on CSI Miami where there seems to be no solution to the crime till like the last minute and a half?
Yep, they do that, and the plot always takes, like, you know, these weird sort of very easy to sort of get once you've seen four episodes sort of plot turns. You know, nice familiar plot turns.
Yeah, absolutely right. The criminal always breaks down under the weight of Caruso's glasses.
They have their like sidekicks and stuff as well. You know, like they had Kono and Chinhu Kelly and Danu. It's like boom, Danu and Chinhu. Awesome.
Yes, as it was, and that. But well, okay, that's a possible rip-off right there. Sadly, those are the only ones we're allowed to put to air.
Good stuff.
I must say, Pitsy from the Melbourne Cage burst into the room and said, "Jet."
Yeah.
I don't know what he was talking about, but anyway, in the next hour, we are going to be joined by Glenn Robbins. He's got some great stuff. I reckon the next hour is going to kill. I reckon... Oh.
It's an interesting choice of words.
We're going to have some funny stuff. It's going to be really funny.
Yeah, we'll see about
that. Oh, shut up, Steve McGarrett, like. Glenn Robbins, let's not raise the bar too high. Glenn doesn't want a high bar.
No bar.
But he's come to the right program.
Absolutely. Know the name.
My response is so funny.
Thank you, Elvis. Now, Glenn Robbins.
Yeah, Roof Down. Yeah.
Do you like to sing along in the car? You do a bit of that?
I do a few interesting things in my car.
Yeah,
I know you do one. You put the Benny Hill music on when you drive around.
Yeah, when I have to drive someone else in the car in a hurry, I put the Benny Hill music on.
I know I've talked about this before, but I used to have a set of the, what do you call it? The things that your headphones, but with the tube ones.
Yeah.
From the plane.
Yep.
And I used to do a thing where I'd get the music on.
Well, if you like to have the music on,
yeah, yeah, this is apparently the format.
Oh, I've started. I should shut up, right?
No. And what I do is, what I used to do is I would pretend to be the captain of the car. Yeah, I'd say,
oh, well, the TV, that morning, and my guitar should be.
And I'd do this little thing. It just showed that I didn't have a life.
Even on your own, would you do that?
I would.
Of course you would.
On the plane, it's fine. It's fun. You do that. You put it in your ears, and you put the thing around there, and it's fantastic. Oh, yeah. Fun. You can't do that anymore. Bring back the TV headphones on airlines, guys.
Not a week goes by on the show where we don't get a call from a listener who's seen Russell Gilbert singing at the top of his voice at night.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Ever since he was out of the Takes Two, he's just continuing in his car. Apparently. But anyway, look, enough about that. We've got a lot to get to in this hour. We're talking local nutmegs. Why are we doing that here? Why would we drag Glenn Robbins into this discussion?
Because there's a fantastic site on the internet dedicated to one that Richard Ivan looked at.
I think the Jet Blue Fly's running out of puff. Let's have some music again. The Talking this, certainly don't know what we'll be doing here at Triple M today. It's the second hour, if you're there.
Oh, no, it's not, says Labour.
It is.
Oh, no.
Buongiorno. Living on a prayer. When will we get Paul Buongiorno to do the Bon Jovi catalogue?
Oh, of course.
We're going to have some sales. Did I get Glenn Robbins? I think. I think we'll find out the last hour we were talking about rip-offs. Have you been ripped off?
I was ripped off recently. But it's only, look, I must say, it's only a minor way. I was minorly miffed at what the minor thing that happened. Okay? Please don't judge me harshly.
Well, let's just hear it.
I've got a little digital clock on my desk and it runs on batteries. Okay? And I couldn't get I didn't have a screwdriver small enough to get the battery out of the digital clock.
Right.
So I went to the watchmaker. I said, can you make a new battery in this for us? He said, no worries at all. Stand there, did it in front of me. Took him 30 seconds.
Yeah.
He goes, that'll be $13.
$13 for a battery installation?
Exactly. And as I'm pulling out the 13, I'm going, hang on a second. I said, what? Is it an expensive battery? He said, no, it's only about, $250 or something. But we do extra. And you know what the extra was? He reset the time.
Yeah. Ripped off. You expect like a little mint or something for that.
Yeah. So there you go. I am never going back.
I'm going to have to pass you the money, or that'll be a surcharge. $6 off for passing in the money across the bench.
Because, look, understandably, if they go out the back,
yeah.
I reckon add on.
Fine. Absolutely right. They have to go out the back. Fine.
He didn't go out the back. He did it right in front of me. It's like my mum used to say about the butcher. She'd go to the butcher. She say he gets me the special meat. How do you know, Mum? Because he goes out the back.
Yeah.
He doesn't get the meat out of the window. Yeah. He goes out the back. So we are eating tonight out on the table the special meat.
Out the back meat.
He didn't go out the back to get a special battery. He did it right in front of me with a screwdriver.
Right.
Never going back.
Oh, yeah.
I have a problem with
drawing a line. I have to go to a different butcher's every time I go to the butcher's because I just go there to get bones for the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so offensive. All right, we've got all this beautiful stuff on the fake grass in the window, and you just want the rubbish for the dog. Here you go.
How much is rubbish for the dog?
It's like about $1.50 for a Fred Flintstone brontosaurus bone, which is the Labrador.
Are you travelling suburbs then?
Yeah, I have to go interstate to go to a new butcher every time, because every time they get offended by my dog request.
Butcher is an interesting one, though. A lot of women that I talk to suggest that a butcher is the flirtiest of all the shopping
areas. Yeah, that's very true.
Why is that? Is it because it's all so tactile?
There's so much innuendo with the snag.
Yeah.
And the opportunities there. Who are these women that you're talking
about?
Yeah,
lots of women in the Richard Marsland MySpace community.
Yeah.
And butchers.
Really?
Yeah.
Glenn, are you in cyberspace? Is there a glennrobbins.com or a MySpace or a Facebook?
Well, it's funny you should say that because I don't do this very often, but I was Googling something and it said, go to Glenn Robbins fan page. I went, I didn't know I had one. And I went, click, and someone set up a fake version of me on MySpace. It's not me.
Really?
Doing a fake version of me.
But have you approved everything that's on there? Is it all true?
Well,
it's a picture of my glass, huh?
And it's interest iron dollar notes
in birthday cards. Is it, what was the question? Sorry.
Is it like a legitimate? I mean, can you say, you know, get off there? I want my own one. Does that person now own your name, your domain?
I'm wondering whether he wants to do a few gigs for me, but you know, does it really matter? I mean, once you start sort of trying to put that stuff out, you don't really stop.
There's so much maintenance involved. People say, why don't I have one? The thing is, I've got podcasts to make and there aren't. And I mean, Ed, you don't really do any work on yours.
I've given up.
There we go.
You've given up.
I've given up.
It's too much work.
What about the fans?
Yeah,
they're putting in every day. Some of our best material comes from your MySpace page.
Well, you read it.
Yeah.
Tone reads my MySpace page every day.
There's some great... What's up there today? Bring it up. There's actually some good ideas for the next segment up there.
When I was at school... Oh, you go. Sorry. When I was at school, they had a thing called... The girls would get together with swap cards. And they go... And they go, got it. And I believe it's the same with MySpace. Stupid. Or Facebook is the new one.
That's right. MySpace is so 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. So you come together and you compare friends now.
Absolutely right.
So therefore, it's a competition of friends.
Yeah.
Of number and hotness.
I mean, seriously, if you've got 50 friends but they're all hot, that's better than having like 6,000 and they're all a bit new.
Yeah. And how do you know they're hot?
If they send you photos. And you can comment, Glenn.
If you had a photo on your MySpace with your shirt off just hanging around a Lilo, in a pool,
and then people would comment, oh, hey, Glenn, like the Lilo. And then you check their pictures and you're like, oh, hey, Sally, nice stuff. And then you meet up.
There we go.
We will. Yeah. That is good material that someone has posted.
No,
we'll get to that next. I'll get this. Triple M is rock. That's Jed. Bring it on back here on Get This this afternoon. Yes, I've got a bit of a cold, but it's not stopping me from saying welcome back, Glenn Robbins. During the song, I know you were talking Sheffield Shield cricket. Do you know as little about it as me?
I do, actually. As little as you.
Yeah, because I don't know what it is that seems to fascinate people about this cricket. Is it? Why do we keep talking about it?
They're the best.
Yeah.
They spend 12 years, you know, trundling in, batting at number 7 and bowling part-time off-spin for Western Australia. Never get a game for Australia, but there's so much dignity in them. They had a crack.
Mm.
You know, that's the thing about
Sheffield. Kirk Hazelaar, he didn't want to play for Australia.
Nathan Remington.
Exactly.
Ben Cutting.
There we go. I think he's a real name.
These are the names.
Percy Nocky.
I can't match that.
What was the... What are the this on your website there?
JB has written in on the MySpace. Maybe JB from the Melbourne Cage. Maybe not. Who knows?
He says, Ed, you go on and on about Queensland's second best glove man, Wade Steckham, but never his understudy, third in line to the Queensland wicket-keeping throne. For 10 years, Gavin Fitness.
Gavin Fitness, that's a great name.
Right, add that to the board, Richard.
Gavin Fitness.
Whenever we need a name for a doctor or a policeman in a sketch, we're going to use actual Sheffield Shield cricket.
That's a nice idea.
Maybe someone could slip one of those into a scene on Thank God You're Here, because they're always asking your names on Thank God You're Here. What's your name going to be? Stuff like that. Now, Glenn, you're here as part of the Thank God You're Here team.
Yes.
But I guess a lot of people would be saying, but what does Glenn do? What is his role in the show?
Yes.
Tell us about it. You're kind of the backstage... You're like the coach, really, aren't you, with the towel around?
I am, actually.
The liniment.
Yes, I work with the man sitting next to me and a few of his talented friends, and what are they called? The ensemble. Thank God You're Here, ensemble.
How does it work? So in the afternoons, you play the guest and walk through all the scenes so that the cameraman will know what might happen.
I walk through the door and I pretend to be the celebrity. And then we move the furniture around a bit, and we play with their performances a little bit, but these guys are so good, I don't really do all
that. Do you ever do one, and you go, well, I wish that had been on the show. Come up with some good gear there.
Really?
No, my hair,
I've been doing so many that pull your head, something head off and just give it a bit of a whirl, because it's just my head just goes nuts. Because I'm trying to think of 8 things at the same time,
and
trying to be scintillatingly funny for the crew.
And they love it, though.
Yeah.
They all crowd around when Glenn has a crack. I've noticed something that's starting to happen lately on Thank God You're Here. There was a bit of it last week, is that the guests are trying to throw the ensemble cast on.
Yeah, that's their go.
Yeah, the Daniel, who's the gentleman with the beard,
who works here,
he got some hard time last week at the end there.
The best part is, these guys are on a pretty strict instruction to stick to script.
Yes.
Yeah. If we let them off the leash and said, you know what, have a bit of a crack, they would slice and dice our celebrities week in, week out. So I would, you know,
sort of caution the celebrities to not go there.
Well, who's on tonight? Tell us.
Tonight, that great show tonight, we've got people from other radios.
Yeah, I think every single person is from a rival radio station.
Or program.
Yeah. Let's hear about it. Come on.
We've got Kate Langbrook, yes. Hamish Blake.
Nish?
I don't... Hamish...
I don't know.
Nish is a comedian...
Yeah, he's here with Camille Dago. We had Simon Palomares on his show before. He's touring around and doing great things. And he's actually on our show tomorrow, Tone. So people can watch him.
Very funny.
Have a go on Thank God Tonight. Yeah, have a chat to him tomorrow.
And Merrick Watts. And it's, look, it's a cliche to say, but it's a great show tonight. And I believe you're thinking about doing it.
I think I might be on in a couple of weeks.
Oh!
I'm hoping for another superhero costume.
Yeah, well,
see what we can do.
Anything that will involve people yelling at me from a car for the following week and a half, that's what I'm looking for too. Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's Thank God You're Here. That's on tonight on Channel 10 at 7:30. But why are we doing this today, Ed? Local nutbag.
Local. We've moved into a new area. I've discovered a local nutbag. Oh, he's pretty good. He's nuts, but he's not super nuts. So I'm hoping that the listeners can help us out find some better ones.
All right. Do you have nutbags in your suburb, Glenn? Just wandering around, talking to themselves, floating a few theories?
I have one out the front here just the other day as I was leaving the radio station. And the weird thing that I have now is that it's very hard to tell the difference between a nutbag and someone on hands-free phone.
So what was this bloke doing at the front?
She was walking down the street ranting, as in throwing her arms around. And I had to, I'm thinking, am I a nut? Is she a nutbag? Do I need to take a wide separate stand? Or am I not seeing a mobile phone? Mm. She didn't have a mobile phone. She was a nutbag.
Are you absolutely sure it wasn't Greg Fleet in a cap pair?
May well have been.
Security often do have to ask him to move on. Okay, let's get to the nutbag. Next, I'll get this.
An orgy of self-indulgence and as boring as watching Mad Dog Cheeks.
This song's pretty much everywhere, except Adelaide at this time. On Triple M around the nation, Glenn Robbins is with us. And Thank God You're Here goes out on Channel 10 tonight at 7:30. Bookmark that one. Mm. For some reason, we're talking about local nutbags. Ed, have you seen somebody? Is there someone in your street?
Yeah, there's two that I'd like to bring up. Yes. Firstly, when I lived in Sydney, and I may have spoken about this later before, every morning there was a bus stop where I would go to university and lots of people would be dressed up to go to work. And every single morning, just like clockwork, just before the 8:34 bus to the city came around, at 8:32, a lady would walk around the corner in a dressing gown screaming, throwing handfuls of her own feces at us.
What made her a nutbag? It was that sound that followed us.
Oh, right.
Came in everywhere she went.
So there's her. But then, maybe that experience has scarred me somewhat. There was a bloke in my street, in my new street where I live, who I saw walking up the street just in a crash helmet. Here we go. And then I found out what he was doing is he was feeding magpies, and he wears the helmet to try, just in case one of them tries to go the pet.
Well, that's not. Oh, not at all. Now, do you have any nutbags you'd like to dob in, Glenn, while we're here? Don't feel you have to. It's a potential.
I used to live next to a house full of nutbags.
Really?
Yeah.
What was there go?
Well, she used to have pets, and she used to get the pet, and she... You know those things that kids play on, where they go playpen things?
Yeah.
Well, she put wheels on her playpen, and then put a lid on it, and then used to put a dog inside the playpen, and then walk down the street going, tick dog.
That qualifies.
She was thinking, pet, but, sorry. And that was all right, but, you know. And they used to have these arguments, but we couldn't see through them properly, so it was a bit like a Muppet show. We could just see the heads going back and forth. And the guy would say, he would say something like, in the argument, say something like, I'm leaving this house. Because he'd get upset.
Yeah.
But it sounded good when it came out. But that he just would repeat it over and over, but putting emphasis on different words. I'm leaving this house. I'm leaving this house. I'm leaving this house. I am leaving this house.
Wasn't it Carl Sanderlands with a migraine? Wasn't it? Mining chair. We have a bloke up at our local shops who appears occasionally, and he's actually a popular nutbag because he'll just walk up to anyone with a beard
it right in their face and go, no! He's anti-VN. Popular Mr. Mullander, Adelaide. What, you know, they're not listening in this hour, so go for your life.
This guy is also a popular nutbag, and he's just delightful. He's about 7 feet tall. He's got a shock of Krusty the Clown hair.
Yes.
And he's very famous in all kinds of weather for walking up and down Rundle Mall, Harley Street and Rundle Street, which is a big, long, two-kilometre stretch. I'm wearing nothing but either Speedos or a leotard and white gumboots.
Wow.
And a koala backpack.
And is he a very fit gentleman, or is he...
He's fit. He's a mountain of a man. I think he played some football in his time.
Okay.
But he is known as Johnny. He's got websites devoted to him because he's something of an Adelaide icon.
Right, give him a sound.
Yeah, I will.
That sounds like the only bloke who's fit to take on Warwick Kappa for Mayor of the Gold Coast.
Yeah, you should.
Are you behind the Kappa ticket for the Gold Coast Clean?
Absolutely.
As long as he wears the hot pants and the sash with Mayor written on it at all meetings. Do you think that'd be good? That'd be popular.
I'd like it.
You've got to vote that. You've got the chance to get him in there. You have to get him in there.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's see what will happen. Just get him a job where he gets to go inside. He needs to get inside for a while. Call us up with your favourite local nutball. 1-3-3-5-3. Getting says here and did this around the nation on Triple M. Thank God Your Hair goes out on Channel 10 tonight at 7:30. Glenn Robbins is kindly sitting in for the whole hour, and we're discussing local nutbags. Who's seen one, Ed?
Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Ed. How's it going, mate?
Yeah, good, thank you. Who have you got?
Mate, I live in Epping in Victoria.
Yeah.
And we've got a bloke called Mental Mick.
All right. And what's his go?
Well, first off, he walks around. He's always in either Metallica or an Akadaka top.
Good man, yeah.
And he'll be walking around the streets, and he's a large man. He's like, oh, go, gun, Metallica, gun, Akadaka. And if you're driving, you're screaming out at your car as you're driving past.
That's nice, yeah.
And I also play footy for Epping. And he comes down to the footy club in his North Melbourne gear. And while we're playing, he'll scream out, go North Melbourne, and start singing their song.
And is he going to be running for any office, do you think?
I reckon he could probably get into Epping, though.
Mayor of Epping?
he suits the demographic.
There you go. Thank you, Ryan.
I think sounds great. Well, yeah, that's good, but we can go a lot nuttier.
No, I think. G'day, John.
Hey, guys. How you
good, mate. Who you got?
In Christchurch City Square, there's a fire and brimstone preaching nutbag.
Oh, in New Zealand. I think you're talking about the wizard, is that right?
Jim?
The wizard, yes. Give him the sound.
It's a little party noise maker.
And what have you seen the wizard, John?
Yeah, we were there on holidays and sort of heard him screaming in the background, and I asked my mate who was sort of from there, and he goes, oh, yeah, that's just this dude, he gets up there every day. And
yeah, he's been doing that since I was a kid, so he must be quite old.
Really?
I think he's actually been in a couple of movies. He's become a celebrity character.
He looks like the dude out of the Fisher King.
Yeah, he's got a bit of a Fisher King look. And he's also attracted imitators in other cities. In Hamilton, there's a bloke called Captain Cecil P. Murgatroyd.
He's franchised it out.
Doesn't make a jot of sense. And yet he's constantly accused of plagiarising the other one. I love when nutbags turn on each other.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Sarah. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
Hi, good. Thank you.
We have a man in my mum's street who has an old car shell in the front of his yard, and he's filled it with hay and fake chickens.
Oh, you're saying fake chickens.
Fake chickens, yeah, it's like stuffed chickens.
And what does he do?
He just has them there. They're just new decoration instead of, you know, a gnome or something. He's just got his fake chickens in an old car.
Yeah, anyone can have a gnome. Well, that's great.
Are you being circled by doodle bugs? What does that sound? It's a buzzing sound there. Well, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm going to bed. I don't want to do it this time. But who's going next?
Hi, Viv.
Oh, hi, how are you going?
Excellent, how are you?
Yeah, good.
Who have you got for us?
I work in a shopping centre and I've actually got two. There's one guy who walks around and it's every day we see him, and he walks from one end of the shopping centre to the other. Yep. And he has like a singlet on, but he pulls it down over his shoulder, so his shoulder's sticking out.
Oh.
Yeah, and when it's a bit cold, he wears like an arm warmer on one of his arms.
Have you got anything to say, or is it just visual kind of stuff?
No, I don't really want to go up and say anything. And the other one is, we've got a guy who looks like the Penguin off Batman, but he's skinny. And he walks past every day and kind of looks in the windows and stuff. It's a bit weird.
Does he do it? Does he do any penguin? Does he do any?
No, he doesn't. Unfortunately.
No, thank you, Viv, and thank you, Viv, for pausing to let Temple Brock Drive play out before you continue your story.
Thank you very much. And I also wanted to say, Ed, if you don't like kissing on movies, don't go and see Harry Potter, because the kissing scene is painful.
Who does Harry patch? Does Harry get a patch?
Yeah, and it goes for about 10 minutes.
10 minute patch?
Yeah, it's full on, and it cranes up, and you think they're done, and it comes back down, and they're still going.
That's great.
Thank you, Viv. Thank you for the warning.
I wish you were on the movie show every week with David Stratton. Beautiful stuff. Glenn, can I just say, we have a bloke at our shopping centre who I've seen a couple of times wears the high shorts. And I've seen him doing the Kel Knight
really
through the shopping centre. Do you ever in real life just feel the urge to just bust out the wall because you're, you know, heading down the street just for your own amusement?
Just to impress the ladies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, come on.
Give us some.
You must.
Yeah, sometimes I do.
Oh, yeah, sometimes I just bring it out just to, you know.
Yeah. It was the other day. I was at a party. There. It was a for a 60-year-old party, 60th birthday. And the woman, an old woman said, can you walk? I said, I'm going now. She goes, can you leave like Kel Knight?
Oh, yeah.
And do you oblige, or do you get a bit sort of, do you have your mind just throw it to the ground?
A small fee would not be able to correct it.
Can we go now here, Mr. Cavalier?
Hi, Phil. How are you?
G'day, guys. How are we?
Oh, excellent.
Mate, up at the Gold Coast.
Oh, good.
Yes, his name's Dave, and he walks around the mall in a little pink bikini.
Oh, that's
cool. It'd probably fit about a 5-year-old or a pink G-string. He's a massive fan of Warwick Cappers.
Yeah.
And he'll wait outside the office for him in the mornings.
Catchphrases?
No, not really. Not the, they banned him for a while. Indecent exposure.
Yeah, he's pretty hard. Actually, I've seen this bloke on the news.
Yeah, that's him, yep.
He's getting a bit of a profile.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen him for a long time now, so...
Well, Warwick's going to need a running mate.
That's a lot of work. Deputy Mayor.
Okay. Deputy Mayor.
Deputy Mayor.
You can get Deputy Mayor, like, written across the front of the G-string. Right, so that's nice.
Yeah, the female bikini, the bikini is not designed in the downstairs area to keep the tackle.
No, it's just
it is busting out all over down there.
You're right, Glenn. It's James Bashaw approved on the footy show round.
Thank you, Phil, who was, I think there's a typing error there from Cecilia on the phones. He was calling us apparently from somewhere called Sufferer's Paradise. Thank you. Who's going last?
Hello, David. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. As yourself?
We're excellent, man. Who have you got for us?
There's this one bloke. You see him every now and again. He's up at Q Junction in Melbourne.
Yes.
His old bloke stands there, stubby shorts and a singlet. And all he does all morning is just stand there and dance.
Nice.
A bit of pelvic thrusting. And you see, if you go through there in the morning, he's dancing, come back in the arvo, he's got the bag with him.
So you I don't think you can be upset about a happy nut bag.
No way.
An aggressive nut bag going. Yeah. No, they don't want that, but if someone's singing, there's a guy near me in St Kilda who walks down the street in a woman's dress.
Yes.
Have you seen that guy?
I've seen the gentleman.
And he looks happy, and the breeze is blowing up his skirt. He looks as though the world is a happy place. You go, I'm not upset about that.
Nope.
Please go forth, sir, and wear a dress.
And spread your floral message.
Yeah, and they're always floral. You said they're always
floral numbers.
They're quite nice.
And he's always taking them in a little bit around the hips. Quite a set of pins, that man, as well. Anyway.
All right, we'll look you up. Thank you very much, David. Dancing at the intersections to the music in his head. It's a familiar story here at Get This. Next up, did you hear about John Lord's gold microphone being stolen, Glenn?
I'm interested.
You're right. Well, you'll find out what happened next exclusively on Get This at Triple M. Now, John Law's gold microphone has been stolen. Now, did you know that he really had a gold microphone?
Yes, I did know that. And I know that just before he comes on air, they meticulously come into the studio and set it up. And
it's a guy with, like, cotton gloves on.
Yep.
And it's worth $10,000. It's got the serial number JL0001 in case you discover it in the window of cash converters. But what... there doesn't seem to be any, you know, details on how it was stolen. Inside job, you reckon?
Publicity stunt.
Is that what it is there?
Oh, you're smart.
Publicity stunt. Well, here's what Mr. Laws himself had to say about the theft.
Good morning, world. I was speaking to you this morning, sadly, on an ordinary diamond-encrusted strontium-plated microphone carved from the tusk of a rare woolly mammoth. I know, it's beneath me. But don't worry, I'm still wearing my gold underpants, my gold pacemaker, and I'm sitting very comfortably atop a freshly installed gold suppository. Oh, I don't begrudge the scum who've stolen my beloved microphone. But I do know what Judge Roy Bean would have said. Take them from this place and hang them by the neck until vultures swoop down and lay waste to their flailing corpses. And the same goes for the man who cut me off in traffic yesterday, forcing me to pull over in my gold limousine and causing the artist who was painting my portrait in oils at the time to slip and knock the string quartet into the passenger seat. Unforgivable. Everyone concerned has been hung. While I'm here speaking to you on this frankly inferior device, let me hose down these rumors that I am desperate to reclaim my rightful position at the top of the ratings before my impending retirement. Coming up next, where's the weirdest place you've had sex? Mingo and the secret sound. Here's yesterday's sound. And yes, that's right. It was me scouring out a saucepan with the top of my head.
And yes, the smashing pumpkins. Time to sign off.
Yes. What a comment in there. And please raise today. We're going to send you a missed sound.